Jobber Nation.
This is Jobber Nation. Looks a little empty right now because Janelle from HR is not here. She's on vacation celebrating her birthday. You know, she's out on these streets celebrating her 31 birthday, aka her 25th birthday. She's acting wild. She's in Colorado, if anybody want to know. But since Miss HR is not in the building, me and my brother decided to get a queen.
A queen. The queens of the queens.
The queens of queens. To come out and just talk to us brothers right now.
Talk so to us.
You know what? I'm talking too much. Mr. Black, I'm talking too much, ain't I? I'm talking too much, ain't I? Because you know what? We don't let the...
You ain't talking enough. You know, we got to big up our queens out here, our black queens. You know,
our black
they be
queens.
Holding us down for many years. Come on, B. So
you know what? The queen will introduce herself because I'm not going to do her no justice. No justice.
Well, thank you guys for having me. The energy is definitely wild. Like, I love it. I love it. Thank you guys for having me. Well, I am Queen Aminata, the Queen of Queens, but I go by the African Women Wrestler. And I am from Guinea, West Africa, proud. So, yeah, thank you for having me.
Guinea in the building. Guinea in the building. You know that us Haitian brothers are closely related to some Guinea people. I read that.
Where did you read that?
It's either that or Senegal. Senegal is what we're closely related to. People from Senegal.
Yeah, Senegal is close to. Yeah. Okay, now I got it.
You know what I mean? I'm telling you. But where do we start? First of all, thank you for coming on the show.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So when we were in pre-production, ladies and gentlemen, she definitely was like, yo, I don't do a lot of interviews.
Yep.
That's not my thing.
I mean, I don't. So it's just like, I just don't.
Yeah, swag. I just don't, you know. I just don't like.
Oh,
yo, honestly, you come up like a Haitian woman. Like, you remind me of my mother when you did that. Like, you know, I just don't like. It's that swag, yeah. It's something about you. I was like, wow, she does remind me of Haitian.
It's just,
yeah.
I'm telling people like being a queen is not a gimmick for me. Like, this is me.
Bars.
So yeah,
But. Thank you for coming on it because it's not what you usually do. The queen doesn't usually come out.
No. Nope.
But where do we start off? You say you're from Guinea, Africa. Do you currently live there now or you live somewhere else?
No, I moved in the USA 7 years ago. So I live in Columbus, Ohio now. I try to go back when I can. I was there last year.
Okay. All right. What made you, let's start off first. Who's your favorite wrestler? That's what we're going to start off. Or who's your top five favorite wrestlers?
My favorite wrestler, I'm not like, it's Brock Lesnar since I was little. He's my favorite. That's it. Brock is my
favorite.
You're the first woman I've heard say that.
What?
You're the first woman I've heard say that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
Matter of fact, you're the only person I've heard say that.
Well, you know, growing up in Africa for me, when I was watching wrestling, he was appealing to me. Like, Brock was like, okay, he's on. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just jumping, you know. And then after that, it was Stone Cold and then, you know, The Rock and John Cena. But Brock, for me, was just like, okay, that's my man right there. That's my king, you know. I'm just saying.
That's my man right there. That's my king. Yo! Wow, I'm sorry, but yo, this is the first time we ever hearing this. So to us, it was kind of foreign. Like, what? But listen, we're not making fun of you. We're not. So please don't take offense.
You know what? The same way you guys are reacting, my trainers reacted the same way. They're okay. Who's your favorite wrestler? I was like Brock. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, Brock is my favorite wrestler. So
it's super unexpected.
Why?
I like Brock. I think Brock is great for the industry because he adds realism to wrestling.
That's why I love him. I was waiting for you to say that.
Okay. Elaborate more on that one. Like,
he's, like you said, he is real. And then when I watch wrestling, I want to feel like people are actually wrestling. They're like fighting, like when I went to Japan. That's why I fell in love with the Japanese style too. So it's the same way for me. And then when I see Brock, I see money. I don't see only WWE. I see way more than WWE when I see Brock. So I want to see myself as that. Like, you don't have to be a wrestler to be that great. Like, he's money. You see Brock.
What happened to you guys?
Yeah. Oh. Whatever okay. he touches is money. So that's why I love him. And he's hot too. So.
You're the first girl that ever said that. You're the first girl that ever called Brock hot. But I can see what you're talking about. Where are you guys going? You guys can come off the screen. Where'd she go?
What happened? Where'd she go?
She disconnected.
Yeah, device disconnected.
Okay. We're having a little trouble right now, but we're going to fix it in a second.
Mm-hmm.
She disconnected. We're going to go back to it. So, bro, how you feeling, man? Oh, she's back.
Yeah. There we go. Here we go.
Yeah, we're back.
There we're back like crack.
So, Brock Lesnar, one of your favorite wrestlers. Tell me somebody else, because you just sent a shockwave through this. So I want to hear your other choices.
Well, somebody else that I actually discovered when I moved here was Asuka. I love mm-hmm. Asuka. So she's somebody that I discovered being here in America. But being in Africa, I just discovered a lot of men. I was just attracted to, like, male wrestlers, not female. Mm-hmm. And Asuka right now is my, like, she's my top. Like, she's my number one. So.
Okay. Who trains you? Who taught you how to get in, how to move in the ring? Because one of the things I love about you, you hit with force.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I know. I hit and I like to be hit, so.
So who's the one who taught you how to hit with force?
James Avery is my trainer. He's my in-ring trainer. And then outside of the ring, when it comes to, you know, character and then promos and all the other stuff behind the scene, I have Sam and I have Chad. So they're like it's way beyond wrestling, because I see my dad and my confidence in them. So I can trust them with everything that I do in my life, not only wrestling. And James knows, like, every time we train, I only train with guys, and they never took easy on me. And I told them, you take it easy on me, you're not showing me respect. You're disrespecting me, because when we're in the ring, we are one. And I carry that with me everywhere I go. Like, when I first started, I used to hit so hard that the girls would, like, complain. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to, you know, hold back a little. And then I started holding back, and I was like, this is just not me. And then it started looking fake, and it was just not me. And then my trainers would watch my match and be like, that's not you. And I was like, you know what? It's either you take it or you leave it, because at the end of the day, we're not dancing ballet here. We are in the ring to fight, to win. Mm-hmm. So I just kept doing it. And I think people appreciate it now, because a lot of the girls, you know, they want to be respected in the ring. So I don't care if you're new or if you're, I don't know, 35 years old in the business, I will hit you the same way I'm going to hit the girl that started, like, you know, on day one. I'm sorry.
So, Mr. Black, you have a question for her?
Yeah, so since you have moved up here from Africa, what was the biggest culture shock that you have when you left Africa into here? And do you ever see yourself going back and creating some kind of wrestling culture, like a wrestling school, back in your home country?
Well, yeah, I definitely want to go back. But to go back to your question, the culture shock, like, sometimes I still surprise myself, or sometimes people do some sort. I'm like, what are you doing? Even though it has been 7 years. But for me, when I first moved here, I didn't speak English at all. So I had to go to school, yeah, and learn from, you know, zero. I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And I knew I wanted to be a wrestler. So, and I wanted to be independent. In order for me to do that in a country where they only speak English, well, 99.9% of the time, I had to be able to communicate with people to find that part of independence that I want. So I focused on that first. And then after that, you know, I started wrestling. And of course, I want to take wrestling back to Guinea, you know, or even not only Guinea, but like everywhere in Africa. But for now, Guinea. But in order for me to do that, I have to, you know, work on myself first. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm working towards that. So who knows? We'll see.
So what else? Go ahead.
Now, where do you want to be, though?
Where I want to be, that's a tricky question. I want to be somewhere where I can say, you know what, I'm going to wake up this morning and be like, I did what I wanted to do. And I would say 50%, I did that for the most part, because I'm already in the USA. That was a big goal of mine. I'm speaking English. That was another big goal of mine. And I am wrestling, even though, you know, a lot of people don't know me, you know, but I know some girls from, you know, some countries or, you know, in Africa, they're like, oh my God, she did it, so I can do it. And that's a big goal of mine. So every single day, you know, is an achievement for me, because I get to share and show them, hopefully teach them one day, like, you can do it. You don't have to wake up and be like, okay, I'm going to get married and have kids and have a rich husband. No, don't do that. Go for your dream, okay? You can do it, so, yeah.
Nah, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Mr. Black?
Well, just to continue your back, you being for 7 years. So how were you able to maintain you going to school, learning English, and balancing wrestling when wrestling came to play?
It's called hustling and bustling, I guess. No, but here's the thing. Nothing is easy, okay? For me, nothing has been easy in my life. And mm-hmm. People might say, okay, she's a queen here. She's where she's at today. But no, I was working 2 full-time jobs, and I was going to school part-time, and I was still training. And like, I had other stuff going on too. And it was crazy. But every single day I wake up and pray, and I'm a bad person. I'm Muslim. So I think that's the only way I was able to make it this far. And I still pray to this day, because sometimes it gets so hectic and so crazy. And I'm like, how can I keep going? Like, why am I even doing this? Because we are human, you know. You wake up mm-hmm. somewhere like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to train 7 days a week. Like, I don't want to do that, you know. But there is something about when you're a God person that keeps you going. And I think that's the only way, you know, I was able to come this far. If that answers your question.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like, basically, did you grow up in a church growing up? Or that's something that's a church. I'm sorry. Did you grow up?
It's okay.
sorry. Did you grow up in, what do Muslims call their temple of prayer? The mosque. Yes. Was your family heavily involved in the mosque?
Yeah, my dad, actually, my grandpa was their imam growing up. So my dad carried that, and then he passed away, you know, when my dad was young. But my dad still, you know, he was still in the, you know, like, he liked everything about Muslim and then teaching and learning the Quran and everything. So I grew up learning how to pray and then read the Quran a little. I don't remember everything, to be honest. But I was still able to go to school, you know, and do my regular take my classes to be, I guess, somehow smart and intelligent. But yeah,
So what are some of the teaching from the Quran that you carry into your whole wrestling gimmick and your whole wrestling persona in general?
Well, there is forgiveness and respect. Those are 2 things that I carry with me every single where I go. Respect, it doesn't matter if the person is, you know, started wrestling today or they've been in the business forever. I don't care if you're a fan or if you're a baby or if you're an old man. I treat people the same way I want to be treated. So that respect goes like everywhere I go. And forgiveness is a big part of this industry too, because we all know it's not an easy business, you know. I didn't realize that until when I got into it. I was like, what did I get myself into? So I had to learn to not only forgive myself, but I had to forgive others, because I sometimes you wrestle some people that treat you certain ways and they look at you certain ways. I don't know. It's just so hard to explain until when you're in the business, you know, like the there's something that they do, and you're like, oh my god, like I just want to, like, man,
punch me in the face,
this person, or do something, you know. Yeah. But I have to calm myself down, you know, and be like, okay, hold on, listen, don't listen to them, don't watch what they're doing, just do you, be you. And then I think a lot of people, when they're around me, or I don't know, when I'm around people, I just always try to be as positive as possible, and then that's it. Because I always say, I can deal with somebody for 24 hours. So I don't know whatever BS that you're going to do. 24 hours, I'm over you. Bye. We're done. So
question. Being Muslim, one of the things I do every year, because one of my best friends passed away and during the time of Ramadan, so I practice Ramadan every year. How does that affect you while you're wrestling? You have bookings and you got to train, because it's hard for me. So I definitely want to know how you get through it, because you've probably been doing it a lot longer than I have.
Good question.
Yeah. My first year into wrestling, Ramadan came and I tried to do it and I almost passed out. I couldn't do it because I trained too. Like I trained 6 to 7 times a week, sometimes twice a day. Like, that's my routine if I'm not hurt or if I'm not physically, mm-hmm. like, you know, like, okay, I'm tired or whatever. But my second year, I was like, I don't think it's about my body. I think it's about the mental strength of the Ramadan that people don't get. Your body is exhausted. Your body is always exhausted. You're moving 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know how to, like, train your mind to follow your body, then when you have that strength right there, you're able to develop your mind, like, way stronger than your body. You will do a lot of things that you never, ever, like, thought you can do. So my second year, I was able to train, and my trainer was like, how can you train and not drink water? And I'm like, trainer, this year, we're going to do it. And I did it. And last year, too, I did it. And, you know, I'm just going to keep doing it. But when it comes to wrestling, I tried to change my gear during Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And this year I really didn't wrestle during Ramadan, to be honest. It was just like a few bookings here and there. But then I talked to a good friend of mine that is like very, very educated into my religion, everything. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, it's all about your heart. If you're gonna go out there and wrestle with your heart and put your clothes on. After that, put your regular clothes on, and then that's it. Go home and pray and ask God for forgiveness. And I was like, oh, you know what? You're right. So I wrestle with my regular gear. And then after that, I get home. I do all my prayers, ask God for forgiveness, and that's it. Life is easy, man.
She said so casually, like, life is easy, man.
like super casual. Like, it's like, yo, it's easy. What are some of the things, because you mentioned that you sometimes you feel like, you know, knocking somebody out. Can you kind of like talk to us about like some of the obstacles you go through being, to be honest, a black female in a predominantly male driven industry?
And Muslim.
If you have any issues, and you're Muslim as well.
I'm pretty sure we all have issues. I have my own issues too, but instead of thinking about them as an issue, I just think about them as an obstacle for me to get to the next level. I redefine words in my vocabulary. So when people think about, oh, I'm having issues, I'm like, no, this is not an issue. Like, this is something that you have to go through to get to this point. So for those people that, you know, mistreated me or said something that was very, very hurtful to me, and sometimes, you know, like, few times I've cried about it, you know. Now I thank them. I'm like, thank you, because if you did that to me at such an early, you know, stage in my career, so whenever I go, then I can, you know, deal with anything that is like way beyond what you just did to me. Or for those girls who just, you know, meet me, oh, she's just a new girl, oh, she's getting booked because of this or because of that. I don't think there are issues. It's just about how you deal with things in your life. If you mm-hmm. deal with, like, with your things the same way you deal with your own person, then there is a whole difference. Because this is the thing that I'm not going to preach here, but this is the thing that people don't understand. When you're wrestling, that's your job. You're an entertainer right there. You got to do your job. Then after you finish wrestling, that's your human being right there. That's you being right there. So if you see somebody who's carrying themselves, taking their job and bringing it, you know, and making your character and you become the same person, then I know I'm not talking to that person. I'm talking to the person that is in the ring with me. But if you're human as, I mean, enough, or you care enough, you respect me enough to talk to me after we finish wrestling or whatever happened as a human being, like as somebody who's learning and growing, then I know like who I'm talking to. So it's just about you finding that, like, you really have to take your time and listen to people. Like, watch what they say, but not what they do. I always say that to people. So I don't think I'll have issue with people. And if I do, people know my mouth. I tell them exactly how I feel, and I don't give a fuck. That's it.
She said, I don't give a fuck. She said, I don't give a fuck.
I just say it, and that's it. But I'm trying to explain here, but sometimes like the English is like, I'm like, I want to say it in French, but they don't understand French.
Nah, say it in French. Say it in French. Me, and my brother understand a little bit of French, so you can say it
do.
In French.
We do.
It's okay. I work on my English, so.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. Where do you want to be in 5 years from now, professionally as a wrestler?
In 5 years from now, I want to be able to wrestle and make money, you know, from wrestling. Wrestle full time. That's my goal. Where I'm going to be, I don't know. Only God knows. But I just pray and hope I'm somewhere where I'm financially independent enough that I can take care of myself. And, you know, I have other dreams too that I can, you know, start working on and stuff like that. So we'll see.
People love that you speak more than one language, by the way.
Oh, good. So I can curse them in African.
I mean, you want to teach us some African curses?
No, that's bad. Don't do that.
I mean, you know, like, technically it's not bad because you technically teach us another language. So it's good.
Well, actually, the easiest way to learn how to speak a language is by cursing. I started like that in English. I was just cursing all the time. And the first thing that one of my friends told me to say, I'm sorry, but it was like, big booty bitches. And I was like, well, big booty bitch. I couldn't say it. And now I'm like, oh my God. But yeah.
Somebody said, I have a main event in the pocket for her. Melon take over this industry, whether they like it or not.
Okay, I'm here for it. I'm ready for it.
All right. So, am I correct that you were on SmackDown once? You did an episode of SmackDown?
Yes. Tell us about that experience.
It was great. It was a great experience. And I just realized why I want to be a wrestler, because I was there. I was like, okay, we're going to do this. We got this. I was so freaking nervous. I'm telling you guys, I almost peed myself when the light came on. Because, you know, you go, you walk down, it's dark, and then you stay there. And then, you know, it's like commercial time. And then they put this bright light on it. Everybody's like looking at you like, okay, who are these two girls? And I was just like, Amy, you got this. This is what you want. You got it. Suck it up. But as soon as we started wrestling, I was like, oh, I got this. No, this is, no, I'm gonna make this place my bitch. I'm sorry.
I got this. So how does one get opportunity to be an extra in the WWE?
You say how?
Yeah. How does one come across an opportunity?
Well, they just choose you, I guess. You go there for to be extra, and then you're like, oh, we just need an extra girl and something like that. And if you're there, they just use you. So yeah, I guess I was lucky.
Did you speak to any of the vets that were back there? Did anybody give you any tips? Did you speak to any of the superstars?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I spoke to a lot of people, and I was surprised because, like, two or three people came to me to talk to me, and I was like, okay, this is amazing. Like, I thought they were going to be like, okay, I'm a superstar, blah, 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 because I've never been around, you know, them before. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was pretty cool. It was nice. So
Nah, that is awesome. That is like awesome. But I want to talk about something that's important and that's coming up. Your match.
Yes, please describe that to our match.
Let's talk about your match that you have coming up that is just popping with melon, popping with great smelling natural hair. all the black girl magic. Let's talk about your match with Trish Adora. Like, let's tell me about it. How did that come about? How do you feel about it? Like, are you excited? Are you nervous?
I'm excited. I'm nervous. That's me all the time. I love Trish. I never got the chance to wrestle her, and I met her at Angel Gate one time. She wrestled another girl, and I saw her. I'm like, I like her blackness. Like, I like how her skin is just like. I'm sorry, but when you're black and you let your blackness like shine, you can't beat that. That's money, right? You know,
it's big money.
Yeah, so I kept looking at her, and I tell the girls all the time, like, if you see me looking at you, I'm sorry, I'm not lesbian, but you know. But I tell the girls that. But I kept looking at her, and I was like, I like her. Like, I like her gimmick, you know. Like, she's her. She's different. And at first, I was supposed to wrestle somebody else, but that show got canceled. So, you know, I got the news, like, hey, you're gonna go for the title. I was like, okay, you know, like, I'm chilled most of the time. And I was like, okay. Until when he posted it and I saw people like, oh, okay, this is amazing. I was like, okay, whoa, hold on. What's happening here? Amy, wake up. Like, what's happening? And I was like, okay, it's for the title. But why is this title so important? So I was like, oh, this is what happened. Because she, you know, she got during the, how you call it? Is it Royal Rumble? Not Royal Rumble. Is it Rumble or whatever?
Which one? That just passed?
How she won her title.
Trish. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Oh,
okay. I don't remember that, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah, and then I was like, two black girls, check. She's hot, check. The title is beautiful, check.
Check.
Okay, the company is popping, check.
Check.
All right.
What's the company? Shout out the company because they put it together. What's the company?
I'm going to read it for you guys so you guys know. Hold on. Oh, wait. I'm using my stuff. I want to read everything for you guys. Hold on. I'll be back. GCW. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
I hear you.
So I'm going to tell you. So the company is Generation Championship Wrestling, GCW. I wanted to say, read the whole thing. It's going to be on the 26th, and it will be in Indianapolis.
Yes, Indianapolis, Midwest and Chocolate Can't City wait. All over. So oh, my Midwest God, that's Chocolate exciting. City.
I was excited, so we'll see. I know we're going to tear down the place. I already know. I have a feeling.
I really love how unapologetically you are of who you are. Like, you are just so you.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And we don't see that with women in the industry because, you know, that you're constantly told you got to look this way, you got to be this, you got to be that. But Trish was the same way. And then now talking to you, it's beautiful of you to adjust you.
Yeah.
You're not pretending to be anything else. I can just tell, like, how, like, you just, this is you. You're so authentic.
I'm not gonna lie. It took a lot of work, you know, but I'm
tell me about, be... tell us yeah, about please. That work. Please tell us about that work that you did so you can get to this level. Because a lot of women can't get to that, like, where you are right now. And I want to know, like, tell them how you did it.
Well, I mean, I'm from Africa. You guys already know that. So me being here and wanting to be a wrestler and then starting to be like trained and then finally, you know, I was able to go on the road. I heard so many things, you know, you have to be this, like you said, you have to be that, you have to wear this, you have to wear that. So I went through that moment where I honestly didn't know who I was. And inside me, deep down, I just wanted to be, an American wrestler because that's all I watched growing up. I didn't know any other African like person wrestling, so I didn't have anybody to relate to. I didn't have any role model when it comes to like, okay, she's African or he's African. I didn't have that. Wow. And now I have that in me. So I was like, I have to make sure I am me. And there's certain things about wrestling. When you're not you, people can see through your work in the ring, you know? I would watch my matches and I would get frustrated. I was like, no. Now I watch my matches. Yes, I will still get frustrated because we're always learning. Like, I'm always learning. That's my goal. But I'm not frustrated about who I am in the ring. I will never, ever freaking apologize for that. It's either you take it or you leave it. And if you leave it, I'm telling you, baby, you're leaving money. But yeah. But I just had to go through that process and redefine who I was and, you know, be happy with who I am and pray God too at the same time. And that's me. And I think I'm still learning. So we'll see.
So with everything going on with the cops killing us Black people, how racism is so rampant in the wrestling business, how do you maintain your Blackness during these times and in wrestling without compromising who you are?
That's a tricky question. But one thing I want to remind every single person, if you know who you are, stay who you are. Don't let other people define or tell you who you are. That's why it's so important for you guys to, or even me, like everybody, to not only believe in what you do, but believe in what other people do too. And when you have that mutual respect and you guys are consistently working together, then there is a little room for people to see difference or color or, you know, culture, like shock or whatever it is. Like, there's little room when you guys decide to work together and respect one another. So sometimes I get, like when I first started wrestling, to be honest, I was like, I'm not getting booked at this place because I'm not a white girl. Like, I'm not gonna lie. But I said to God today, like, I'm sorry, God. I don't even know why I said that. Like, don't do that. Don't say that. You know what I mean? But I just had to like remind myself all the time. I don't see my color as something that is like holding me back in the business. And if other people can see or they're seeing it that way, that's on them. Their brain is messed up, not mine. I know who I am. And when they decide to clean their brain and come back, you know, like as a new person, because right now they think they're right or they're wrong, whatever the case is, I'm not judging anybody. But
okay,
for my personal view, I know who I am. And if you don't want to see me or you don't want to like book me because of my color, or you think you can take advantage of me because of my color or my size, then I'm going to remind you right there. Listen, you don't know who the fuck you're dealing with because I know who I am. You do you.
Spicy.
I'm going to be me. I told you, like, sometimes, listen, sometimes, no.
You can switch it on and off. Got you. So, how your parents feel about you becoming a wrestler? Because African parents, Caribbean parents, either doctor, engineer, what is it, lawyer? Like, how did they took the news that you went against the grain and became a wrestler? Walk me through that.
You want the honest answer?
Of course we do.
I was hoping you were be like, no, we lied to me.
No.
I never had this conversation with my dad or my mom.
Really?
No. My mom found that through social media, and I ended up blocking her on my Facebook because she will see a lot of my wrestling gear pictures, and she was like, you're naked. That's not, you don't do that. You're a Muslim woman, blah, blah, blah. And she's covered. My mom is covered.
You know? Okay, okay.
And I was like, I'm not going to have this conversation with you because I know, like, when you got to know who you're dealing with. I know she would never get it. And with age, her brain is just right there. It's not moving. It's like, this is what I know. That's it. So I that's how I deal with my mom. And my dad, people started talking to me like, okay, your daughter, that's your daughter? That's your daughter? And then when he came 2 years ago to visit me, he showed me a picture. He's like, is that you? And I was about to go take my shower. And I was like, Dad, I'm about to go take my shower. And you know, that's not me. That girl is, whoa, look at that girl's body. Like, Jesus, my daughter's like that. And that was my car to just go upstairs. And we never finished that conversation, like never, ever. Because I know my dad will support me no matter what. But my family has a reputation in Africa. And that reputation, I respect them. I love them. They're my people forever. But I got to go for what I want. And this is my life. So they should respect that too.
That was deep. That was deep.
Yeah, yeah.
That was deep. That was real deep.
Yeah, that was.
I'll tell them one day, but not now.
Like wow.
I felt that.
Wow. I mean, what about your siblings? And how many siblings do you have?
I have four. So my dad married two wives. My mom is the second one. So I have three from my stepmom. And my mom's side, I have myself and my little brother. He actually lives okay. Now he moves from Malaysia to live with me, and they're all good except my big brother, because to him I'm just putting myself naked out there, and he won't, like, he's like, that's not my little sister, like, growing up that was in you, like, you can't do that. And because he's not getting it, again, I'm sorry, you're my brother, I love you to death, but I blocked him. I'm like, I don't have time for your negativity, because I have a dream, I have a goal, I'm going for that. When I reach my destination, I will talk to you. But right now,
wow,
I'm sorry, but you gotta go. Same for my sister, so I know. It's okay, but I'm fine, though. I'm happy.
Okay, so basically, like, all your siblings support it, but one, your parents don't support it. So you being in America, so far away from home and stuff, did you create a kind of like a new family? Not a new family, but like, per se, a group of people that you could count on?
My circle is very small. The only person that I would not say that I trust with everything, but the only person that I can wake up and call is my brother, Luis. We started training together.
And oh, wow.
His daughter is, I'm the godmother, you know, so he's like, he's my brother here. And then my trainers are like my dad here. So whatever happens in my life, like, sometimes, you know, you deal with some stuff and you don't want to talk to people. You don't want to put your stuff out there. And I was talking to him before we started. I am super private about a lot of stuff. I don't feel confident, like, opening up or sharing those things. So I only have, I would say, two people that I can call and be like, listen, this is what's happening. And they know when I give them that call, they're like, oh, it's about to go down, you know. But and I'm happy with like that. And I have one person in the wrestling business that I call my sister, and I love her to death. Like, anything related to wrestling and stuff like that, you know, from women to women, I know she's my ride or die. Like, I will call her and then she's gonna answer, and then she's gonna tell me exactly like whatever like she needs to tell me. She's not gonna, like, you know, sugarcoat anything. She will tell me, hey, okay, listen, you fucked up here. You did this, you did that. And that's what I need in my life. That's all.
Was it hard finding somebody to trust in this industry?
It was. It was very hard. But I wasn't looking for it. It just happened. You know? It just happened because I was looking at people. And here's another thing. Like, you have so many people hanging out together. And I want to do that. Like, I would love to hang out with girls and do this and do that. But one, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't like to
party. Oh, you're like me. We can hang out.
I don't like to party. And I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Like, I don't have a lot of people around me, like female wrestlers, you know. And it's just me. So,
yo, listen, I got to ask you this. How does it feel to go for a place full of people who look just like you to come here and they're just the complete opposite? You know, wearing shorts in the wintertime. And just
got
doing weird stuff.
On,
yeah, like
flip flops out in the wintertime.
How do you deal? Because that's the biggest culture shock. Get culture shock. Like, everything else, you cool. That's the whole American idea. But seeing just like, dang, it's a lot of y'all here. How?
No melon.
Nothing.
No melon.
Nothing. How do you deal with that? And matter of fact, better question is this: how? What was your first experience when you realized that, yo, I'm not in Africa no more?
Well, from Africa, I went to school in Paris. So I grew up between Africa and Paris, you know, and it's very, very cold in Paris too. I wasn't too surprised, but Ohio is very cold. Columbus, Ohio is very, very cold. The only thing is, like, we don't have transportation. Like, you know, like in Paris, like I have to drive, you know, my car and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So winter time, me cleaning, you know, off the snow and all that stuff. And I'm like, I hate doing this. This is the time, like, I just wish I can tell somebody, can you just clean my car? Or, like, I have a garage, you know, stuff like that. I hate that because my hands are, like, frozen and stuff like that. And I have arthritis. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is just, like, killing me and stuff like that. But I guess that's what happened when you're like, I'm going to leave my country to come here. Oh, everything is fine. Hello, breaking news. You're going to freeze to death. But I'm fine.
Have you ever thought about, like, fuck this, I'm going back home?
Yes.
Yes, I'm not going to lie. It got so hard and so frustrating at one point that I was like, I think I need to go back. But that was personal, not wrestling related. That was just like...
No, definitely.
I was like, I'm going to go back. And that year, I couldn't travel that year. I waited the year after to take my break and go to Africa. And I went there for 10 days and I was like, thank God. That's why now every year I try to go once, you know, like I will go see my kids, see my dad, and then come back and that's it.
Nah, that makes sense. That makes perfect.
You mentioned you have kids. How hard is for you to be over here and you raising them? Like they over there, you over here. How many kids do you have to? Wow.
Four?
Wow.
Yeah, I have four beautiful kids. Two boys, two girls.
Wait, what?
Wait. That Loki went over my head. Four kids?
What?
I do. I don't know why everybody gets like,
four kids?
What's wrong with you?
No, there's nothing wrong, but it doesn't look like you had four kids. Doesn't look like you have any kids.
Any kids? What?
Listen, I that's why I have to tell every single person. I adopted them, but I have four kids.
Oh. You adopted four kids?
Yeah.
What?
Really?
Tell us about that story.
No.
Hold on.
Listen.
Wait. No, hold on. You don't got to tell us about you adopting four kids. You don't got to tell us about that.
If you don't want to, yeah.
We gotta give you a round of applause for adopting four kids.
Woo-hoo, they're my babies. Yeah.
Like, that is huge and a beautiful thing. Because...
And a pain in my behind. Yeah, I know.
Because me and my brother are adopted.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why. Oh. Well... You have many people out there that have a lot of love that they need to share. So,
and my boy Blackman that just commented, he's adopted as well. So we understand how the sacrifice you made for and then bring somebody else into your life. And then Big Time Yaya just commented, "Your life is like a movie."
It is.
Like, my life is like a movie.
It is.
Well, I don't see it that way, but okay, thank you.
I mean, if you're comfortable telling the story, we are welcome to hear it because four kids, if you're comfortable telling how you end up adopting them, like, that's a, wow, man. No, like,
I don't think it's a story. It's more like my dad adopted kids, you know, even though he has five, but he's the youngest in his family. And in Africa, I think you guys can relate. We have like a big family, like cousins or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Come to your house. He's like, well, you know what? That's fine. So he sent us all to private school. Like, it doesn't matter. You can't even tell the difference between us. I swear to God. We're all like, you know, kids from Bekem. That's his nickname. So me growing up, like I knew from when I was like a little girl, I'm like, I want to have kids. But I don't want to have kids without, you know, being in a marriage. That's me, that's my religion. I'm not gonna do that. So this wonderful, beautiful lady was with us and she couldn't take care of her kids, you know, because the poverty and stuff like that. And I'm like, I asked my dad for his permission, like, hey, can I take these kids, you know, under my wings, and maybe later on, I didn't tell him, but adopted, like, they'll be mine legally. And he was like, that's fine, because at the time I was working for him. I started working since I was 16. It doesn't matter. Like, I was in Africa, but I was still working. And they just, I was just, I don't know, for some reason, they just helped me focus, you know? And she had like other kids later on. And I'm like, if I can adopt them all from the same mother and from the same dad, then let's just do that. And that's what we did. And I asked her, like, if you still want to be part of their lives, that's fine with me. I am totally okay with that. I'm not, I don't want to take your kids away from you, but I want your kids to know that they have somewhere where they can be like, okay, I can wake up this morning and be like, I don't have to worry about anything except going to, you know, going to school. You know, because, you know, kids in Africa, a lot of them don't go to school or don't even have like food to eat or stuff like that. So my plan is to have more, but I want to be with them. So hopefully my boy, my big boy will turn 18 in about 6 years, and then I will bring him here with me. And I want to wait until they're 18 before I bring them, so they know exactly the culture and everything, just like me. So, but yeah.
Round of applause, man.
They're great. No, thanks to all of us, I guess.
No, it's what you're doing. You're doing God's work right now. Like, and we're not joking. This is God's work that you're doing. Four kids. Taking them in, giving them a better life. Yo, that's absolutely beautiful.
They're great. They're smart. And they keep me focused. So I think they changed my life. I didn't change their life. They changed my life. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it happened. So thank God. Thank you. Yeah.
You know what's funny, Mr. Black? During pre-production, she was like, I don't really talk a lot. I don't feel like talking too much. I'm going to keep this short. Maybe 15, 20 minutes is going to be. It's been 45 minutes we've been talking.
I know, you got, and you're like, I have some tricky, but you know, I'm not going to tell you the questions. I'm like, oh, Lord, save me here today.
We're not here for that. We're not here for that at all. Any more questions, Mr. Black?
Your questions are hard, okay, Mr. Black? No more questions for you.
Overall, I just like to say, like, yo, you're dope. And keep on being yourself, and regardless of what happened, as long as you stay true to you, you always will be blessed. And the fact you have faith and you know where you come from, you have advantages over a lot of these females, black, white, whatever, it doesn't matter. The fact you have knowledge yourself, and the Quran talks about that, the point is have knowledge yourself and love yourself first. And I applaud you for that. And you being a wrestler, you could teach other girls to love themselves first and have no man to install that into them. But install that within themselves, because the best love is always self-love. So, Queen, I applaud you. You keep doing your thing. Wear your crown and never, ever, ever let anyone see you cry.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, all that good stuff he just said. You guys hear me?
Yeah,
all that good stuff he just said. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We really appreciate you being on here. Like, this made our day. Like, so fun.
No, I appreciate you guys. Like, I really appreciate you guys, you know. So, thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you for being so funny and so nice and so loud. Like, you know, crazy African people. But yeah.
So, that's it, man. We out.
Yeah, Mr. Black. Nice to meet you. Hopefully, I will see you soon.
Yes.
Hopefully, I will wrestle this one.
I mean, I was over, got the hands in motion. If you go with rolling, no need to focus. Traveling states and over oceans. You gotta wait till your coast chosen. Trying to have lines outside the show like Harry Potter releases at Barnes & Noble.